It's good to be here today, and I'm thankful that you're here with us, and we praise God for your presence. There's a couple of songs that kind of remind me of what I'm going to talk on this morning, and I'd like to share with you today. You know, life's full of troubles. My life is, I don't know about yours, but I think it is. Troubles. I have trouble, and my trouble, I create a lot of it. It's like when I come down here, this little recorder, I didn't bring it with me, couldn't find it. Went back to the house, and there it was right there. When I'm looking for something, I can't find it, and I've spent a lot of time hunting things I've laid down somewhere. Now, that's trouble to me. But when you look around in the world, and around you, in your life, and my life, there's trouble. When I go visiting, everywhere you go, man, there's this kind of trouble, that kind of trouble, there's trouble. People always talk about trouble. Well, trouble is a fact of life. You heard that in the song, I guess, is trouble, trouble, trouble. Everywhere I see trouble, trouble, trouble. And there's another one that this guy sings. And I thought, well, that song's not correct. You know, the one that said there's troubles everywhere you see. I thought, you know, that's life. That's right. This other guy, he sings, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. You know, you think, well, nobody knows the troubles you've seen. I don't think that's right, but when I looked up the original song, it said nobody knows the troubles I've seen but Jesus. So we see that, yeah, Jesus knows. God knows the troubles you have. He knows the troubles I have. He knows the troubles we all have. But we all like to sing the blues, you know. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Everywhere I look, the world full of trouble. Oh, me. You know, we get down in self-pity. You know, there's often, always so many troubles and problems of life. We think we got troubles. What if you lived up there when that tornado tore that town up and that was your house that was flattened? That was your community that everywhere around you saw was destruction and you were trying to make life and go on. You know, they've got troubles. And you know, often the adversaries and the troubles that we have in our lives that come upon us as trials and sometimes unexpectedly, they reveal the truth about what we really are inside. They reveal to others what we're really made of and the truth about what we are. You know, sometimes that's not really seen until real hard troubles come. And then when the troubles hit, then it reveals to ourselves and to others what we're really like, what we really are. God knew all the time, but He brought it to light with troubles. You know, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. It's going to happen to all of us. We're all going to face a test, a fiery test, a hard test, a fiery trial, like you've been put in the fire. And don't think it strange, he says. You know, it's going to test your faith and test what you really believe about Jesus Christ. He said in the next verse, But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So, you know, when it gets really hard and the trials get really bad, then we need to rejoice. We need to sit back and have a little joy and consolation and be happy that we can suffer. Jesus suffered. Oh, how our Lord suffered. He says, If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. On their part His evil is spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. You know, sometimes our troubles are because we speak the truth. That's the way it was with the Lord. He spoke the truth. And the more He told the truth, the more trouble He had. You know, He couldn't lie and say, I'm not the Son of God. He said, I'm the Son of God. And for that, they crucified Him. Troubles. We speak the truth often and we'll find troubles. We look at a man in the Bible that's famous. It's David. David was a man after God's own heart. King David. But his life was just filled with trouble. There was adversaries and troubles every way he went. As a young man, you know, he took the sling and went out into battle, and he killed the giant Goliath, and everybody rejoiced, and the whole guy was happy, and the king promoted him to sing songs to him, and before long, the king was jealous, and the king sought to kill him the rest of his life. That king, as long as he lived, he tried to kill David. David then went from place to place. He lived in caves and hid here and there to escape the wrath of this king that sought to kill him all that time. More than 20 years. Finally, David becomes the king. This guy dies, and David goes and takes the kingship. And now he's the king, and he's sitting on the throne. But you know what? He has troubles. He looks over the way. He sees a woman. He commits adultery. He has a child. That child dies because of his troubles. David had much victory in battle. But he also faced many, many trials and troubles. He got in trouble with God. He had the people numbered that God didn't want him to do. Again, David has troubles. He has troubles with his son and a daughter. His son raped his daughter. His troubles in his house. He has a son that goes and rebels against him and seeks to kill him. And David fled from his own son in his own house to escape death. Yes, he had troubles all of his life. Adversaries. Problems. We look at other people in the Bible. Elijah. Elijah faced troubles. He thought he was the only one that believed in God. All everybody else was worshiping Baal. He built an altar, you know, the story how the prophets all went around there, those prophets of Baal just couldn't do nothing with it, and he put water on it, and God burned it up, and he killed some of those prophets, and then they sought his life. He fled for his life. And God brought a drought upon the land, and Elijah was blessed. Elijah went and hid in caves. He was fed by ravens, by birds. And he's sitting there, you know, waiting to die. But God sees him, and God knows he's there. And God talks to him and brings him out. And then he gives his mantle to Elisha, and Elisha had problems too. The children mocked him. You know, I've been mocked by children. I know that doesn't feel good, but I can relate to that. As he's walking along and going up the side of the hill, the children are all throwing grass and sticks and stuff at him and hollering, "Go up there, old bald head, go up there, old bald head," and making fun of him, the prophet of God. He had trouble. He was faced with adversity. And if you look at anybody in the Bible that told the truth and stood for the truth that was worth standing up for anything, he had troubles. All of them did. They had troubles. Daniel, look at Daniel, the problems he had. Taken away as a small lad in captivity in a strange land and forced to serve a strange king. And yet, he had troubles. They caught him and threw him in a lion's den. There's Meshach and Abednego and Shadrach and read about them. They all had troubles. And when you turn to the New Testament and you look at the apostles and the life they had troubles. Big time. A lot more than I ever thought about that. I've had some troubles. You've had troubles. I know you have. But they really faced a really dangerous situation with their lives as people sought to kill them. Look at Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. How that when he became an apostle, his own countrymen and fellow men tried to kill him. The other Christians were afraid of him, but the other people were out to kill him, and they thought every town he went to, people were seeking after killing him. And then when he escaped those folks, he went out into the world, and because he preached Jesus Christ, the Gentiles and the heretics, they sought to kill him. Paul was beaten many times. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 8 what the Apostle Paul wrote about his troubles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll start with verse 8. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." You know, there were problems. "We're perplexed, but not in despair. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. The Apostle Paul saw many problems and troubles of life. He had troubles among fellow church members. Some of them didn't want him to come there. He had troubles with the world. There's always trouble. Be thankful for your troubles. Because your troubles, like natural disasters that we talk about, or accidents or sicknesses, you know, not those that we get because we stand up with Christ, but things that naturally happen in the world, they cause us to become aware of what's really important in our lives. What really matters to us, what's really good, what counts. You know, and what really should matter should not be our money, our houses, our boats, our fame, our electricity, our television, all these things we have, or the convenience light, washing machines. That shouldn't really matter. What should really matter is, how are we with God? God's purpose for us in our lives. How God cares for us and the purpose He has for us. You consider what's going on in Africa right now. Down in Somalia. Those people don't care whether or not the Saints won a ball game. Hey, they don't even care whether or not the Saints exist. Or any other sport or activity like that, or any other of those things. You know, they just want what? Food? And something to put on their body. They left their towns and their cities. Do you know why they left those places? They've had war upon war upon war upon war for several generations. War. Chaos and conflict. And God didn't send a drought, and they were drought in that land, and their crops all failed, and they have no food and nothing. But what are they going to do? You know, in that land, you can read the history and learn something about that land. The people were always fighting. And the women were frequently raped, and they thought nothing about it. They thought nothing about going to somebody's city or house and raping all the women. These warriors. The place was very corrupt, and is very corrupt. And you see people just starving, how pitiful it is. How much they would love to just have basic food and raiment. That they don't have. And so they don't care whether they got electricity or not. That's not a big deal. They'd like to have something to eat. But we got all these wonderful blessings of life, and yet we get bogged down with the little problems that we have. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here the Lord instructs them that with having food and raiment, therewith be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we don't have anything to cry about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we want to begin reading verse 4. He says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doing, doting about questions and strife, the words whereof cometh envy and strife and railing, evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we bought nothing in this world, and certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You ever considered how would you be if all you had was food and raiment? How would you feel? How would you act in this life? Where would you turn and what would you do? Some people would steal. Some would kill. If all they had was food and raiment. But the Christian, if he's truly a Christian, will not do those things. Verse 9, he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The search for riches, to want to have more, 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 that's what it'll do to you. It'll destroy you. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, While some coveted after that they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith, love, patience, and meekness. Those are the things we want to follow after, to desire, to build up in our lives. Could we be satisfied with just food and rain? Could we be content in those situations? Hebrews 13:5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, let your life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. You know, I thank God every day for the things I have and the life I have. He has so richly blessed me more abundantly than I deserve. And I pray that I can learn to be content with these things of life He's given me. He says, for He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's where people miss the boat. They don't see that. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He sees your condition. He knows your problems. And He knows the answer to it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. We have no fear what men will do. The Lord is our helper. You remember the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. That's very great advice. That we can learn that and live by that. Through our troubles, you see, and trials, we get to know God better. Because if we turn toward God, we learn to pray. We get out and we pray about things that really matter. And we turn to Him in our closets, seeking answers and solutions to our troubles and trials and pains. And we learn to be aware that God knows our situation. He cares about us. This gives us a security and faith that through our prayers, we learn to conquer our troubles. We learn to trust in God and trust that God will strengthen us and He'll make us able to face our troubles. He'll cause us to be able to bear up in the face of adversity and to share this help with others. To share this help with each other. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. That's what we all need is mercy, isn't it? And the God of all comfort. All our comfort comes from Him. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. God comforts us through our tribulation. And through that we gain strength, that we're able to comfort others who are in trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation so also aboundeth in Christ. Consider, if you would, the problems of Jesus. Consider the troubles Jesus had. There'd be nothing compared to ours. The more truth he told, the more problems he had. Jesus sees our problems and knows our troubles. And he knows what's best. And he will provide it. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What a wonderful thing to pray. To be concerned whether or not you're going to be led into temptation, whether or not you're going to fail, whether or not you're going to sin. Be concerned about those matters. And if we pray, God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. He said, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. God has the power. He has the ability to keep us from temptation. He has the ability to protect us from the evil. This is a great thing to pray for. When you learn to pray this prayer, your life can be better. You learn to pray that prayer and believe it and trust in God, He'll help you. Lead us not into temptation. deliver us from evil. In Psalm chapter 23 and 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You know, there's no greater place of fear that we could go than this. No one's ever been there that can tell you about it. When you go down into the shadow of death. And he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with us. And his word and his rod and staff, that would be his word, they comfort us. His promises, they comfort us at that time. If they can comfort us in death, they can surely comfort us in the little problem, the trial we have around the house, like a lost tool or a stumped foot or a hit hand or busted finger or whatever it might be, a conflict with a sibling or an argument between a husband and wife or a conflict between brothers and sisters. God can help you and he can comfort you. God knows your troubles, your problems, and he cares. And he understands your concerns and your needs. And he is able. If you believe it, trust in it, he is able. Isaiah 43 and 1, it says, for now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When we become a Christian, God knows your name. He knows my name, he knows yours. He knows us personally by name. And he knows all our needs. And he knows everything about us. And Jesus said, I never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. We need to open our hearts and open our minds and learn of him and the blessings he can provide. How he can help you. How he can deliver you. How he can save you to the uttermost. Turn over to Psalms. We want to read several things here in Psalms. Psalm chapter 25. I want to start there. Turn over to Psalms chapter 25. We will start reading here in Psalm chapter 25, verse 1. Psalm chapter 25, verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let not me be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. What wonderful words that the God can do. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. He is the God of our salvation. We need to wait on him. Look at verse 21 in that same chapter in Psalms 25. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. You know, if we would just wait and trust in him, look at 20. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. You know, we want to be people with integrity and trust in God and wait on him. We can have that integrity. Turn over to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. We start reading here at verse number. We're going to read verse 14. We're not going to read all of that. But I guess we'll read 13 and 14. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, put our trust in him and wait on the Lord. It's words worth living by. Turn to Psalms chapter 37 and verse 34. Psalms chapter 37. We look at verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land which the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. Wait on the Lord, you see, and keep his way. And things will be better day by day. Turn to Psalm chapter 52, in verse 9. Psalms chapter 52, in verse 9. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. It is good for the saints to wait on the Lord and to wait on his name and wait on his salvation and wait on it to be done his way. Now I want to look at Proverbs 20 and 22. And I'm sure I haven't got all of such scriptures, but there are many, many, many that say the same kind of thing. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 22. This is what we need to do with our troubles. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Don't think you're going to take care of it and you're going to recompense the evil about you. You can't do it. You can't overcome that. You're not stronger than the devil and the things of his world. But wait on the Lord. He's stronger than him. And God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will save us. Turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. What a great promise that is from the Lord. We can go to him, and he will give us rest. All our worries can be taken away. If we just let the Lord have it, wait on him, have faith in him. We worry about stuff we shouldn't be worrying about many times that ain't worth fooling with. Just let it be. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn about Jesus Christ and the salvation we have in him and the promises he made to us. He said, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. You have peace and rest. The greater you can wait, the greater your faith and trust in him, the greater rest you can have. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're here today and you're subject to the call of Jesus Christ, we give you an opportunity to come this morning to burden your heart of your problems or whatever it might be. We'll pray with you and for you. God promises he hears our prayers. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you don't have that inside connection with God. You don't have that promise of him because you're not in his body. You're out in the world apart from him. We encourage you today, if you never obeyed it, to obey that gospel today, to be buried with Christ in baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life, having a new life based upon God. A new life where you can trust and wait on the Lord. And if you need the prayers in either way this morning, we give you the opportunity to come.